Turn with me in your Bibles to the last book in our Bibles, the book of Revelation. And we're going to go to almost the very last chapter. We're going to go to chapter number 20. Revelation chapter 20. And I am going to read the first six verses. Revelation 20, verses 1 through 6. And again, usually I have an NIV translation Bible. My large print Bible is an NASB, so it might be a little bit different than what you have. If you have your place, let me hear you say amen.
Amen.
Let's stand while God's Word is being read here this morning. Revelation 20, verses 1 through 6. Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, holding the key of the abyss and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold of the dragon, the serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. And he threw him into the abyss and shut it and sealed it over him, so that he would not deceive the nations any longer until 1,000 years were completed. After these things, he must be released for a short time. Then I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was given to them. And I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded because of their testimony of Jesus and because of the word of God, and those who had not worshipped the beast or his image, and had not received the mark on their forehead and on their hand. And they came to life and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. The rest of the dead did not come to life until 1,000 years were completed. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is the one who has a part in the first resurrection. Over these, the second death has no power. But they will be priests of God and of Christ and will reign with him for 1,000 years. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, we ask that this scripture open our minds and our hearts. And Father, I know that it's a little difficult to explain. And I am going to do my best to do what your spirit has kind of instructed me to do here this morning. Father, I am going to hide behind the cross. And I pray that the words that I say here this morning will be exactly what you want me to say. But more importantly, Lord, may your scripture speak to us in the way that it needs to speak to us personally. Change us and transform us and mold us in such a way as you see fit. And we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Today we're going to continue in this sermon series on end times. We are into something that is called, big word, eschatology. Eschatology is the study of what the Bible teaches is going to happen in end times. The purpose of what we cover in this series is to introduce you to views and beliefs of what other Christians believe to be sound eschatology. There are many different views. My intentions are not to change what you may presently believe about end times. My intentions are not to argue with you about what you may presently believe about end times. And my intentions are not to force my beliefs down your throat. To me, a person's belief of eschatology is not a hill to die on. Again, the purpose of this series is to let you know that not everyone out there who is a Christian may believe the same way you do about end times. In our first week, this is week number 3, in our first week we learned this, that Jesus Christ will return. That is a fundamental Christian belief. If you are a Christian, you believe Jesus Christ will come back at some point in time. Last week, we concluded that when we consider studying about end times, we must consider the book of Revelation. Even though this book contains prophecy, the prophecy is apocalyptic in nature. And also last week, we talked about these other two camps, which we called preterist, another big word. And may I stop and just say this? When you're talking about end times, it seems like all the words are this big. So please forgive me for using big terms. It's not that I'm making this stuff up. It's just what these people are called. So these two camps called preterists, who believe that all the tribulation that's found in the book of Revelation, which is from chapters 4 through chapter 18, has already occurred with the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD. One camp, called the full preterist, believes that all the tribulation has occurred, and they are so far out there, they actually believe that Jesus Christ has already returned. And I might buy into the destruction of Jerusalem thing, but I don't buy into the fact that Jesus Christ has already had his second coming. But then you have the partial preterist, we discussed last week, who says all the tribulation has already occurred. They're just waiting for Jesus to come back. But last week I introduced the third camp, which says that the tribulation has not occurred with the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD. And today we're going to talk about the three major differences with the people that we find here that we talked about in this third camp. So let's call these camps camp number 4, 5, and 6. So we're going to have three more camps here this week. And this will be rather interesting. In the passage that I read this morning, we read about an event called the millennium. What is the millennium? Well, millennium means 1,000, and in its literal sense means 1,000 years. In the biblical sense, it means that Christ will reign on the face of this earth for 1,000 years. And that is where the three camps sort of have their differences. Camp 4, 5, and 6. So the first question that we must ask is this. If the book of Revelation is apocalyptic in nature, which means it contains symbolic language, do we take the 1,000 years literally or do we take them figuratively? The three camps that we're going to talk about, one camp will take it literally, one camp will take it figuratively. And the third camp is okay either way. And we'll discuss that as we get into them. Let's talk about this first camp over here, camp number 4. Over here in camp number 4, we have those who believe, and I have these outlined in your bulletin, I just have the word, in what they call a pre-millennium. So these people who belong to this camp over here are what we call pre-millennialists. Another big word. Well, what does that mean? What is a pre-millennialist? Well, let's break that word down. The word pre means before, and millennium means 1,000. So these people over here in camp number 4 say that the return of Jesus Christ comes before the 1,000-year millennial kingdom. Jesus Christ returns, the 1,000 years begins. This belief teaches that the 1,000-year reign of Christ in Revelation 20, 1 through 6, which we just read, is literal. So these have a literal background of the 1,000 years, and it begins at the second coming of Jesus Christ. Christ will reign on this earth from Jerusalem for a literal 1,000 years. And as it says, Satan will be bound for those 1,000 years. So if you are a pre-millennialist, you believe that one day Jesus Christ will return unexpectedly like a thief in the night with a loud trumpet call, and he will be visible to everyone and everyone will be able to see him. Then you will be transformed into a resurrected body, And you will get to rule with Christ on the face of this earth for 1,000 years. A literal 1,000 years. That's the pre-millennialist. But not everybody's over here in this camp. Some people are right here. Over here in camp number 5, we have those who believe in a post-millennium. So therefore, they are called post-millennialists. Big word. Like I said, these are all big words. What does that mean? Well, the word post means after, and millennium means 1,000. So the people here in camp number 5, they say that the return of Jesus Christ comes after the 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ, after the 1,000-year millennial kingdom. This belief here, post-millennialism, teaches that the millennium, okay, now listen up, this is rather interesting, is an era, a literal, and it can be literal or figurative, during which Christ will reign over the face of this earth. And he doesn't reign, however, from a literal or earthly throne, but through the gradual increase of the gospel and the power and the gospel's power to change lives. The millennium comes through Christian preaching and teaching. And such activity, this preaching and teaching, will result in a more godly and peaceful and prosperous world. During this literal or figurative 1,000 years, evil will not be totally eliminated during this millennium, but it will be reduced to a minimum as the moral and spiritual influence of Christians is increased. Increased evangelism, strong moral values help usher in the second coming. Now, this is rather interesting because I want to tell you a little story about a man named Alexander Campbell. Some of you might have heard the name of Alexander Campbell. Alexander Campbell, along with another gentleman by the name of Barton Stone, started a Christian movement called the Restoration Movement. And out of the Restoration Movement came churches called Church of Christ. I bet you know a Church of Christ somewhere. And it also started churches called the Disciples of Christ. Where have you heard that name before? That's what Beech Grove Church used to be. Beech Grove Christian Church used to be part of a denomination, part of this autonomy called the Disciples of Christ. And Alexander Campbell was a post-millennialist. And he wanted his whole organization, this new restoration movement, to be part of this thing called post-millennialism. He expected a millennial reign of Christ through the gospel after all the nations were converted and all the sectarians had returned to the what he called the ancient order of things. This was one of his bases for the appeal of the restoration movement. When all men accepted his form of church, of this restoration movement, divisions within church would cease. Up until then, what did you have? You had Methodist, you had Baptist, you had Congregationalists, you had Presbyterians, you had Lutherans. And each one had their special laws and rules and theology. And he said this, we are divided when we're like that. The only way Jesus Christ is going to come back is if the church is unified. Then he believed that the nations would be converted and men would enjoy 1,000 years of joy and peace under the gospel. The church would be united. The world would get better. All Christians would start doing evangelism. More and more people would get converted to Christ. And that would usher in the second coming of Jesus Christ. In other words, if we could get people to get converted and the world becomes a better place, then Jesus will return. How long a period of time might that be? Well, he called it the millennium. It might be a literal 1,000 years, and it might be a figurative 1,000 years. But we, as Christians, have work to do. That's what he thought. And do you know what changed his mind? He had this big hope of this Restoration Movement church, and that would help usher in the return of Jesus. But unfortunately, in the early 1860s, something happened called the what? The Civil War. And when the Civil War came in, he realized that men could never usher in a utopian type environment. So to sum it up, if you are here in camp number 5, if you're a postmillennialist, you and other Christians are making a concentrated effort to evangelize the world, because the only way that Jesus is going to come back is if this world becomes a better place first. Because he will certainly not return to a world that's corrupt. And it will be a better place for either a literal or figurative 1,000 years, and then he will return. So you have the premillennialist, you have the postmillennialist, and then you have this third group over here, camp number 6. You have those who believe in a... You have those over here, camp number 6, who do not believe in a literal millennium, and therefore they are called amillennialist. That's our third word there in your bulletin. Well, what does that mean? Well, the suffix a means anti or against, and again, millennium means 1,000. So, the people over here in camp number 6, they say that the 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ in Revelation chapter 21 through 6 is symbolic, now listen, is symbolic of the current church age rather than a future 1,000-year reign. These people, they contend that the period described in Revelation chapter 21 through 6 began at Christ's resurrection, and it will continue until his second coming. So between this that we know happened about 2,000 years ago and when Christ returns, this is the millennium. And it can be any length of time, because in their eyes it's purely symbolic and figurative. An amillennialist loves these three scripture verses, okay? They love these three verses. They love Psalm 84 verse 10, which says this: "Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere." They also love Exodus chapter 20, verses 5 and 6, which is part of the Ten Commandments, which says this: "You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the parents to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments." And they also like 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8, which says this: "But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day." Do you see a word that we find in all three of those different scripture verses? Why does an amillennialist, the people over here in this camp, why do they like those three verses? Because in all three of those cases, the word 1,000 is figurative. Better is one day in your court than 1,000 elsewhere, than 1,000 generations. 1,000 years is like a day, and a day is like 1,000 years. It's all figurative. It's all symbolic. Amillennialism, these people over here, hold that while Christ's reign during the millennium is only spiritual in nature, at the end of the church age, whenever that is, Christ will return in final judgment and establish a permanent physical reign. They say the binding of Satan has already occurred and has already been prevented from deceiving the nations, because the gospel is being spread. Nonetheless, good and evil will remain mixed throughout history and even in the church, and they refer to the parable of the wheat and the tares for that. They say the wheat and the tares are all mixed together, won't be separated till the end. So to sum it up, if you're over here and you're in this camp, camp number six, if you are an amillennialist, you do not take the millennium literally. Actually, the millennium to an amillennialist is happening right now as we speak. Christ will return when he is good and ready. You notice that all three of these different views focus primarily on the millennium and very little on the tribulation. To them, the tribulation is a secondary issue and certainly not a primary issue. And to all three of these verses, here's a couple verses that you can write down. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 50 through 58, and 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 through 18. They believe that those verses, the first one again, 1 Corinthians 15, 50 through 58, and 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 through 18, all three of these camps will say that they are the same event. And what is that same event? That same event is the second coming of Jesus Christ. Now, there are many Christians today who support one of these three views. Many Christians. There's a lot that support the premillennial view. There's probably not as many who support the postmillennial view. And there are quite a few who support the amillennial view. Again, the purpose of this series is not to let you know that not everyone might believe the same thing that you do about eschatology. So what are we going to discuss next week? You'll notice that there's one word that I have left totally out of the message today. And you're probably waiting and waiting and saying, when are you going to talk about it? You didn't hear the word rapture anywhere, did you? Well, that wasn't in any of the three views that I talked about today. Because camp number four, camp number five, and camp number six don't believe in a rapture of the church. So next week, we're going to talk about something called, ready for another big word? Dispensationalism. Another big word. Couldn't they call these things something that has like four letters in it? No. So next week we're going to talk about something called dispensationalism, and that includes the rapture of the church, something that you may be familiar with. And by far, next week when we talk about dispensationalism, it will be the most popular belief that's circulating in Christian churches today. But even dispensationalists break into three different camps. It's interesting. Not everybody believes the same thing about end times. So let me conclude the way I've concluded the last 2 weeks. Here's the bottom line. Here's one thing we agree on. Jesus Christ is coming back.
Amen.
Amen. He is coming back. Are you ready when he does? Let's go to God in prayer.